So who's had an opportunity to come to one of the sessions for the prayer time? Many of you. We've had a lot of folks come for that. And, you know, when I come into the prayer time, I've got my journal with me, got my Bible with me. And I may be praying in known language, praying in unknown language. I may be singing. I may be looking at the Word. I may be just meditating. You know, every time it's different. I have no ritual or format that I follow. But I've been writing some things down that the Lord's been saying to me during these times of prayer, and I want to read just a couple, a few of the things that I wrote down, and it has an impact on this message that I'm sharing today. Started this one. It says, "It's a new day." This was the first day that we started praying. Times of refreshing in your presence. People who spend consistent time with you will be letting go of bad habits, sins, and destructive thinking patterns that have held them back. They will be in a place to hear God's voice through His Word and His Spirit. Not only will they hear, they will obey. We will get our marching orders from you. We are tired of going doing our own thing, and we want your thing. We want to be right in the middle of what you're doing. We will continue to declare what we are seeing over the congregation. That just means, you know, you have to speak vision. You can't declare things as they are, or they have been in the past. You have to declare, you know, who people are in Christ and where we're going. Not what is, but what could and should be. Not where they are, but who they are in Christ. We're going to see things differently. The things that He shows us, we'll write it down. If we're not quite sure about what we're hearing, talk it out with a trusted faith friend. We will have one of the most fruitful and satisfying years of our lives. I like that. Don't waste your time on fruitless efforts. I will help you prioritize what is truly vital. I will show you who to pour into. Pour into a few and watch me do more. This will be a year of the dreams and desires of your heart becoming reality. The dream He has placed in our hearts will be clear, and we will walk out what we see on the inside. Not just a few will walk in their calling. There will be many. I like that. Be there to guide, mentor, encourage. Show them how to walk in the Word and how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Things that are holding people back will fall away. It will be like a fog or a cloud being lifted. They will say to you they didn't even realize that they couldn't see clearly. This is a big thing that I have for, this is the Lord saying this. This is a big thing that I have for you in 2017, for you to see clearly and follow the path I have laid out for you. All these seasons of preparation were for a reason and a purpose. I will teach you to walk in your highest calling for the greatest good. In this last part, this is a year of great transformation. In you, in your health, your finances, your marriage, your family, in the Good News Church congregation, and in other believers and leaders I choose to send you to. And I really like that. And I think probably the thing that I've been hearing more and more in my prayer time, I mean, above anything else, is that word transformation. I don't know if anybody else witnesses with that. I've been hearing that a lot from the very moment that we started the prayer time, and in almost every time that I come in here for prayer, I've been hearing that word about transformation. So let's talk about that a little bit today. We've been talking about it really all year, but let's go over to Romans 12. We are so blessed here to have the teachers and ministers. I mean, my wife Susie and Pastor Nate and others, I mean, we are really blessed. You know that? You realize that, what you've got? Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you. Isn't that something? Paul's begging here. In view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes. I like that. New ideals, new attitudes. So that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So two main parts of this verses here is, the first one is, do not be conformed. That means, that word conform means conformed to this age, conformed to a pattern, conforming one's mind and character to another's pattern, meaning not Jesus. Conform to someone else. Comply with the rules and standards. Behave according to what is socially acceptable. There's a scripture that says, you mingle with the world and you learn their ways and they become a trap to you. I think sometimes we're more influenced by the world than we are by Jesus. We think more of the world's ways and how they do things. Celebrities and stars, politicians, give so much thought to all of that. A lot more thought than we do to Jesus. But they can't bring transformation. So why would we want to conform to their ways when it won't bring transformation? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word transformed means metamorphosis. You've seen the cocoon, the caterpillar and the cocoon, and then it eventually opens up and this beautiful butterfly comes up. That's metamorphosis. That's a change. That's a transformation. It means to be transfigured. You remember, it's the exact same word used in the Gospels where Jesus was transfigured before several of His disciples. His body was turned from an earthly form into a glorious form. He was transfigured. It's that same word, transformed. It's to change into another form. It is a dramatic change in form or appearance from one physics, from one nuclear, from one element into another element by a nuclear process. It's a profound change from one change to the next. So He's talking for us to be transformed, and it's a constant change. It's the constant transformation. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 40 years ago or 1 year ago in Christ. That resurrection power is working to bring change, to bring transformation. We should be constantly changing, constantly getting better, constantly growing. People should be able to see a difference in us. Anybody want that? I want biblical transformation. I want for this church, I want miracles like there are in the Bible. Now, there's instantaneous miracles, and I've experienced those, and I've had things, bad habits and sins fall away instantaneously after I got saved. And I've had miracles and God do things. But there's a process to transformation. And I want both. I want people to come in here into Good News Church or be around Good News Church people and for there to be the power of God in manifestation. I want to see signs and wonders. I want to see the dead raised. I want to see the deaf be able to hear, the blind be able to see. I want to see people free of addictions and free of bondages. I want people that are sick in their mind to be set free. People that are tormented by the devil, for the power of God to be there and for them to be set free. But I also want to see, as it's talking about here, that the main way for transformation is the renewal of your mind. Some of it's instantaneous, but a lot of it's a process. You're going from one step to another, from one form to another. And so today I want to talk about that renewing of the mind. Because you're not going to have transformation in 2017 without the renewal of your mind. I mean, you can, you know, make some great resolutions and they can have some effect, but you're not going to have transformation. Because transformation can only come from God. Transformation can only come by the Spirit of God. And the transformation that God's wanting to happen in your life is not for you to be just healthier or more prosperous or be more comfortable at home, although all this will happen. The transformation that He wants to do in you is He wants you to be more and more and more and more like Jesus. To be transformed into the image of Christ, that we act, that we talk, that we think like Jesus. And the same things that He did when He showed up, we do those same things. But that's not going to happen just because, you know, we want it to happen. There's a process to transformation. And so let's talk about that. Another word for that transformation is renovation. There's some work that needs to be done on our minds. I said this, that the purpose of the renewing our minds is to be transformed more and more into His image, that we may bring about His will on this earth. That's the word to do, is to bring His will about, not your will, His will, to fulfill the purpose for which we're created. How many people, I mean, they just make their decisions based on what they think is right or the way they think they go or what they want to do. It's not about you. It's about what He created you for. It's about His purpose. We're being transformed to fulfill His purpose, not your purpose or what you think is important. It's what He thinks is important. We're here to do our part to fulfill the Great Commission. And there's at least two parts to the Great Commission, getting people saved and making disciples. So many believers, they don't have a clue. They're not involved in that. They don't care about that. But we're here for a purpose. We're here to fulfill the Great Commission. We're here to bear fruit for the kingdom. That's why you're here. Paul said, you know, he was talking in Philippians about whether he should depart, which he said is far better. To depart, which he said is great gain. But he talked about remaining because it's more fruitful for you that I stay. You've got a purpose for being here. And it's not just to get by, and it's not just, is this okay today? Too tough for January, whatever, 22nd? Jesus didn't save you to get more comfortable. So you could sit in your big fat recliner, you know, with all your stuff and watch the game in more comfort. That's not why you're saved. I wish the people at the Atlanta game today, Frank, would get as excited about things of God as they are about the Falcons. They'll get all dressed up and wear all the colors, and they'll do all the different things, and they'll go, they get cheering and shouting, and then they come into church, and if they even come. Oh, praise the Lord. But then they're in the game and they're doing the wave. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Come on, everybody. Let's praise Him. Yet they're at the game and they're all alive and they're all excited about this little ball going down the field. And then you talk about the Great Commission, people being saved and disciples being made, and you can't even get them to come to church. Oh, some of you are giving me a look like, I don't know if I should have come today. I think it ought to be the other way. We ought to be at the Falcons game just sitting there all calmly. And we ought to be at church alive and full of power, because my Bible says resurrection power comes from Jesus. We are alive in Christ. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. Doing chest bumps. Holy Ghost chest bumps. Jesus.
Don't hold that, man.
Don't tell me that. Don't give me any encouragement today. Don't laugh. Don't shout. No way. No. Don't do it, Grayson. Hold that. Where was I? What am I talking about today? I don't even know. Do our part to help. That's what I was talking about. Do our part to help fulfill the Great Commission. We like to take credit for the transformation, but real transformation comes from the Spirit of God. What we have to do is open our hearts to Him, be diligent to stick with things. He does the work. So there's some things that we need to do, and this is kind of like a checklist for you. You go to get your physical, and there's a checklist of things, and they fly an airplane, they go through the checklist. Maybe on your job, there's a checklist of things you need to do. There's a checklist for renewing your minds. And these are the things that you need, the most important things you need to be doing if we want transformation in 2017. And I want that. So the first thing is, we need to be having times of worship. Let's put up that scripture from Hebrews 13, verse 15. Frank made reference to today. Through Him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify His name. How many times has the Lord spoke to me during worship time? So many times, whether it's here, spoke to me in Australia, other different places, during praise and worship. And the reason being is because the Spirit of God can work when you open yourself to Him. And during worship, when it's true worship, I mean, worship means to kiss toward. I mean, you're being intimate with God. When you're intimate with somebody, they draw closer. And so worship during a service is not just something we do. We're learning how to worship. And I just want to really encourage you guys, Nate, just keep on going. The direction you guys are going. We're gonna follow. We're gonna get it. But keep preparing, keep seeking the Lord. It's important. God's doing something in our worship team. Need to be praying for Him. But how many times? And so worship is a part of renewing the mind. Changing your attitude, changing your thoughts, changing your thinking. I'm making God bigger than my problem. I'm making God big in my life. He's bigger than anything. I value Him. I treasure Him. I look to Him. He's my source of supply. I trust in Him. I don't trust in myself. I don't trust in my own abilities. I trust in the Lord. And even with my arms, I mean, surrender. I just surrender and give Him praise. All right, times of worship. Talking about renewing your mind. Because I've read Romans 12 and I've thought about transforming, you know, transformation and renewing your mind. I always think of the Word, but it doesn't mention the Word. It's I'm going to mention that in a minute, but it doesn't say in Romans 12 that the renewing of your mind is just the Word of God. It's a worship is a time of renewal. Susie dealt with this and others so far this year. Times of prayer. Let's read a couple scriptures. Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. There's prayer in English. There's prayer in an unknown tongue. We call that praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. But it makes a difference in your mind. It quiets your mind. It helps clean out your mind. It helps strengthen your mind. It builds up your mind. I like 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. That's why this prayer time. I want to encourage you. We got one more week. We may continue on. We may or have other kind of prayer times. But if you've got time this week, come on out. And if you don't know how to pray, we'll help you learn how to pray. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, we'll get you baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every one of us. It's for every believer. You need to speak in tongues. Well, Pastor, speaking in tongues really is really weird. Yeah, it is weird. I have a master's in business. I was a controller for a Fortune 500 company, and I spoke in tongues. Now, I didn't go into the plant and walk around the plant speaking in tongues real loud. Every day when I walked in the office, I just started shouting in tongues when I walked in. I didn't do that, but I prayed in the Spirit, and God helped me, and God revealed three promotions in 5 years. At that plant, I was about to get my fourth promotion when we went full-time ministry here at Good News Church. Speaking in tongues never has hurt me. It's only helped me. And you're missing out. And don't let fear or ignorance or wrong teaching keep you from this. You know, it's probably not a good analogy because it's a lot more than that. But it's like having one of your arms tied behind your back without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It may be both arms, it may be even one of your legs. This is the believer without being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's good. I mean, it's good. I mean, you can do a lot of things. 1 Corinthians 14. Do we need to go ahead and do the wave now? First Corinthians 14. Frank, I do want the Falcons to win. But my whole world won't come crashing down. First Corinthians 14, verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit and helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that's within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. So the Holy Spirit is praying with your spirit, and it comes through your vocal cords, and it's in a language that you don't understand. But the Bible says it's the perfect will of God. How could that not be good for your mind? But then he doesn't even stop there. He said you can interpret back, and the things that you're praying about, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. We've talked a lot about that, so I'm just going to move on. Then, on the checklist, in the course from Romans 12, times of hearing, reading, or studying the Word of God. You all know this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Put up Mark chapter 4. And if you want to have a transformed mind, you're going to have to do Mark 4 here. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Now, I could give you a lot of scriptures about the Word. Hebrews 4, the Word is alive, quick, living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. He sent His Word and magnified it above His name. I mean, so many benefits. And so I don't want to encourage you, if you want to make a change, you want to see real transformation, let this be a year you start studying the Bible. Let this be a year you start hearing the Word. And we have so many ways. I mean, you hear it every Sunday and Wednesday here. You can hear it on your phone. You can hear CDs. You can watch DVDs. We've got so many ways. I mean, read your Bible. You have your Bible on your phone. So many different ways. But I feel like we're reading less than ever. But you cannot have transformation without the Word. And the Word is very important because it will give you a safety net for the things you're hearing by the Spirit of God, or sometimes maybe you're hearing other voices that are not God. Because the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word. So it's important, you know. One of my mentors talked about the Word and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit. Be strong in the Word, be strong in following the Holy Spirit. And so that's why we use a lot of scriptures here. It's a safety net. It's for protection. It's so we don't get squirrely, so we don't get deceived. And so how's your word level? Now don't tell me what you think you're doing. How are you really doing? If we're not seeing transformation, this is a good place to start. God wants us to go from form to form, get better and better, stronger and stronger. But now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying you're not going to have any trials. I'm not saying that your life's going to be perfect by doing this checklist or even having your mind renewed. There's still a devil, but you're going to be strong to deal with him. And fit to help those around you. There's going to be trials. There's going to be temptations. There's going to the devil's going to come knocking on your door. And you're going to do a lot better when he comes knocking on your door, when you're stronger, when your mind is renewed, and you put him in his place. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. It's not the abundance of the Atlanta. I'm picking on Frank today, but it's not. It's not out of the abundance of the Atlanta Falcons that our mouth speaks. What I mean, go Falcons is not going to do anything with the devil. I'm a Vikings fan. Go Vikings. The devil comes knocking on. Go Vikings. There's no power. Give me an F. Give me an A. Give me an L. Give me a C. What's the spell? Felk. Try that with the devil. Come knocking on your door. I'm not even going to get into the other programs you're watching. Maybe I will, but I don't have time to. In the name of Brad Pitt, devil, you've got to flee. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. That's my devilish laugh. Ha, 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 ha. What's that? What's the quarterback's name for the Falcons?
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan. In the name of Matt Ryan, I take authority over you, devil, and cast you back 30 yards. Ha, ha, ha! You stupid fool. I am now going to take over your whole house because you are so stupid. You have to laugh because it's so pathetic. Times of meditation. This is where you take the Word of God and you let it roll around in your mind and you think about it. It's like, anybody here ever had a sugar cane? Real sugar cane? I mean, when you get that, I mean, do you eat the whole thing? No, you suck on it. What are you doing? You're sucking all the sugar out of it. That's what meditation is. It's sucking on the Word. We're going to have to edit this whole message. I am like half drunk up here. And so you guys decide if we even need to put this whole... We may even just need to stop live streaming because this is going to be used against me today. But meditation is drawing it out. It's like just milking it. It's like everything that's in there. And meditation, you can be on the job and not be reading your Bible and maybe meditating on the Word. You're rolling it around. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. Then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Meditation is the key for transformation. Times of fellowship. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the instructions which you have heard from me along with many witnesses, transmit and entrust as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. When I got saved, I had a lot of really rich fellowship. And up in Minnesota, it's Perkins. Perkins is the Minnesota version of the Waffle House. And I remember being there at 1 o'clock, 2 in the morning. I used to be in there after I was drunk and just wasted and, you know, or on something. You know how when you're on something, you got to go eat something? That's how it used to be. But when I got saved, I took that same energy and I would go to Perkins and I'd sit there with my brother or other different people and we just talk the word. We grew, man. Our minds got renewed. Because it's like we're just taking all the things we're hearing in church, all the different messages that we're hearing, and we're taking them, we're talking about them. Iron sharpens iron. We're doing this Essential 8. And this is basically 8 discipleship lessons. Goes right along here with 2 Timothy 2:2. And we've been hearing transformation testimonies of people. The leaders and the people that are being led, transformation. 8 weeks. See a difference. What is that? It's the word. It's fellowship. It's talking about the word. It's helping people, praying together, giving them guidance. I mean, we're here today. I mean, I wish I could go to every person here. What's the Lord showing you today? Or maybe people are having questions. Maybe I didn't explain. There's a whole lot of things I didn't explain well today. But, you know, you got questions about things. Where do you get the questions answered? I can't stand out there all day and answer every question. Okay, I answer some. But fellowship is a great, great way to grow, a great way to renew your mind. And everyone needs it, whether we're on the receiving end or the giving end. And both are transformed. I'm telling you, this right here is gold. I was just on a ministry trip down to Alabama and in Georgia. And I was giving these out to pastors and leaders. And they were blown away by this. They loved it. They thought, what a great tool. We need this, but these materials. Spirit-filled materials that we can train and disciple others in. It's going to be a key for transformation. We're going to develop other materials. We're going to do something for this new life and I Give Life and other different areas. We're going to have a whole series of these. And I just go ahead and just prophesy right now. These are going to go to the world by the thousands. They're printing 1,000 of these in India. I believe they're going to go all over India and other nations. Talk about what we're sowing into. You're not only sowing into Good News Church, you're sowing into nations. You're sowing into transformation in other nations. So fellowship, discipleship, renewing the mind. And last one, but I got to get to my scripture. It's 11:59. It's 12 o'clock. Still 12 o'clock. Times of corporate worship is a part of renewing the mind. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some. That's a bad habit. But admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Am I the only one that sees the day approaching? We need each other. We need this body. We need to fellowship together. And even if you feel like you don't need it for the particular day, what about you giving to somebody that day? It's not just about receiving, it's about giving. We need each other. In these times of corporate worship, corporate giving, corporate word, corporate prayer, and ministry, we need this. This is a vital part to the renewal of your mind. It says about the pastor that he's the bishop of your soul. What does that mean? It means part of my job is to look over your mind and make sure it's being renewed. And I can't be giving you fluff. I can't be giving you candy. I've got to be diligent in this. Our team's got to be diligent about the things that we're doing. We're giving you the meat of the Word, line upon line teaching, pointing to the Word. All right, now I got to my verses that I want to read. I said all of this to read these verses. Let's put it up there. 2 Corinthians 3. Now I'll explain a couple things as we go along here, but I mean this is a great verse for 2017. Great verses. The government of death, what's that talking about? The law. The government of death, its constitution chiseled on stone tablets, had a dazzling inaugural. Moses' face as he delivered the tablets was so bright that day, even though it would fade soon enough, that the people of Israel could no more look right at him than stare into the sun. Meaning, he was at the mountain, he was face to face with God, God's given him the Ten Commandments, God's given him the law, he'd come down from the mountain, and the people, his face just dazzled. Next verse. How much more dazzling than the government of living spirit. That's what we're under. We're not under the government of death. We're under the government of the living spirit. If the government of condemnation was impressive, how about this government of affirmation? Bright as the old government was, it would look downright dull alongside this new one. If that makeshift arrangement impressed us, how much more this brightly shining government installed for eternity? With that kind of hope to excite us, nothing holds us back. Oh, I pray in 2017, nothing will hold us back. Unlike Moses, we have nothing to hide. Everything is out in the open with us. He wore a veil so the children of Israel wouldn't notice that the glory was fading. See, that was faded glory. It wasn't sustained, the law. It was a glimpse of the glory, but it faded. And they didn't notice. They didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it now. And don't notice that there's nothing left behind that veil. Even today, when the proclamations of that old bankrupt government are read out, they can't see through it. Only Christ can get rid of the veil so they can see for themselves that there's nothing there. And really what the law represents, it's human flesh trying to please God. It's human rules and regulations, what man thinks they ought to do to please God. That's religion. And it may sound good and seem good, but it produces no power, and it definitely does not produce transformation. Actually, it only produces more sin. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living... Just let these words sink in today. What He wants to do in our lives. How good God is. They suddenly recognize that God is a living personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it. All of us Nothing between us and God. No barriers. Our face is shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful. As God enters our lives and we become like Him, we've got a face-to-face relationship with God. It is more than just the glory that came on Moses. It comes on us and it stays on us. And we don't realize that when we go out in the world, we feel weak and defeated, like we're not doing anything. But we go out of here today with the glory of God. We go out of here shining. We go out of here representing Jesus. We're ambassadors for Christ, ministers of reconciliation. It's not a feeling, it's something we know. And I can go boldly to the throne and talk to God. He's my Father. He'll meet my needs. He'll empower me. His Spirit lives in me. I don't need to be afraid of Him. He loves me. Jesus removed the veil. He removed the separation. I'm glad I'm in better shape now, because I'm breathing hard right now. How many calories have I been burning today? Heart rate's 112. 1120 calories. I'm not going to eat more for lunch today. I appreciate you even coming today. I know you went through a lot just to get here. I know it's challenging. I remember back when we had all the small kids and all we did to get to church. But I tell you what, on the day you least feeling like going to church, that's the day you need to be there. We need each other. Go through that checklist of mind renewal and how are you doing on those different things. And we need to be strong in each one of them. First and foremost, the Word. But go back and go through the checklist. What areas are you weak? What areas do you need to gird up? I'm not talking about a certain amount of time. It's between you and God. I'm not saying an hour a day or whatever. I'm not saying all that. I'm not putting any condemnation on anybody. But these things I'm talking today, if you want transformation in 2017, it's got to be on your list of priorities. And that's you. No one can do it for you. You're the one that yields your mind. You're the one that opens your mind to the things of God. But if you'll do that, transformation will come to you, to your home, to your marriage, to your bodies, to your finances. And that's all great. But what's even bigger, though, is the transformation that comes through you to others. Life comes out of you. Resurrection power comes out of you. When you arrive on the scene, Jesus arrives on the scene. How awesome is that? I mean, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. That should be just normal for us. The devil comes knocking on our door. You don't have to shout, in the name of Jesus. You get out of here. We're not having that in our household. Let's be praying for each other. The Ephesians prayers. Praying for revelation. Revelation of His love. Revelation of the Word. Growing up in all things, having a walk fully pleasing to Him. Praying for each other. Come on, we're in this together. We're a body. We're not any kind of competition. Here to help each other. But I'm believing, and so, I have my, you don't have to have an expensive journal like this. I don't know, probably 30 bucks. You don't have to have one of these. But in my times of prayer, times of studying the Word, I'm expecting the Lord to speak to me. I'm expecting revelation. Even today, while during the praise and worship, I said, Lord, I just open myself to you, man. If there's any junk in there, just get it out. Holy Spirit, help me get it out. If I'm in any kind of ruts, help me just get out of that rut. If I've got any bad habits, I want to let them go. This is our year. This is a year of transformation. Holy Spirit, do your work. I just yield myself to you. I open myself to you. Come on in. Do your work. I'll do my part. You do your part. Who's wants some transformation? Is that God's will? Get that 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Put that somewhere. Put that on your mirror. Look at it every day. Put in different translations. That's what He's doing in our lives. That's what He's going to do through us. Go ahead. You can